So for the last few weeks here during Safer at Home and the pandemic, we have changed up this segment. Instead of going through the list of the biggest shows coming to town, we found this survey that's floating around Soch, and it's 12 questions, and it asks you your favorite band, your least favorite band, band that changed your life, etc. So we got the idea that each of us here on the crew would spend one of these segments answering the survey. So I went first a couple of weeks ago. George went last week, and this week it's Gordo's turn.
Hey, thank you, Craig. More difficult than you think it'd be, actually.
Yeah, it's tough.
It is tough. Okay, we'll start with band I hate. Band I hate. I'm very uncomfortable with this because as a musician, I think every musician starts off being really judgmental about music. Maybe every teenager starts off being very judgmental about music. Oh, this band sucks. That band sucks. They totally suck. And you love the power play that is negging on somebody's favorite band.
Yeah.
After you get involved in music and you start playing music and you start realizing that, it's particularly after you meet some people who maybe are in a band that you used to rag on locally, who was competition, then you meet them, they're good guys, everybody's trying to make music, you kind of tamp back down on that, some of that negativity and judgment. So it kind of hurts to say a band that you hate.
Yeah.
For me, at least, because kind of as you get older, you want to be more supportive. Having said that, Phil Collins sucks.
What? That's the guy that drives you crazy?
Yes.
Boy, Face Value is a really good album. There's some songs on there that didn't get played necessarily on the radio that were really good.
He drives me nuts. Drove me nuts back then. Still, when I hear the songs, they drive me nuts. From Billy, Don't You Lose My Number.
Susu Studio.
To Susu Studio, which is like the worst song of all time to me. Even Edge of Night, which is considered more of his masterpiece because
holds up,
it's
right?
So moody. And no, it kind of drives me crazy.
You know, I'm kind of with you. I loved him in Genesis. And I thought Genesis produced some of the coolest songs ever, but I hated his solo work. Hated it.
And he was one of the biggest names in music at that time. I mean, he was probably in the top five of musicians putting out music during that time. And it was a strange time because all the songs that he was most popular for all completely sucked, in my opinion.
Missed Again? That's a good song.
Sucks.
No.
And part of it is, his is one particular voice that I never could get used to. I did a little monologue about how people with really identifiable voices that I started off hating but then grew to love, things like Morrissey or even, gosh, I would say REM's lead singer Michael Stipe, James McMurtry, Billy, what's his name?
Ocean.
Idol.
Bob Thornton.
Bob Thornton. That's the one I'm looking for. Bob Dylan is another example of someone who has a very identifiable voice that I hated at first, but then grew to love, and it becomes an integral part of them, and it becomes the thing that you love the most about them. Phil Collins, no. It started off as the thing I hated about him, and it ended as the thing I hated about him. there was no story arc to that. So
that's a tough one.
Band I hate.
You're not
Phil
alone
Collins.
On that. There seems to be a lot of Phil Collins backlash.
Is there?
Over the last, I'd say, decade or so, yeah.
Which I kind of feel bad for him because he's a big supporter of Texas history and preserving Texas history. He's
one of the world's foremost
collectors of Alamo memorabilia.
He collects Alamo art.
Yes. He probably has a copy of the Alamo art song just because it's related to the Alamo in some way. And I want to say he's in a wheelchair now.
He is?
Yeah, there's something going on with Phil Collins where he's not doing so well.
Huh. Band, that's a tough one.
Band, I think, is overrated. This is another. All these were so painful for me. Because I want to put in there some people who I think that I've given an unfair shake to over the years. But historically, I've always thought the Beach Boys were overrated.
You're going to get a lot of opposition on this.
I know, because they were innovators, but I grew up hating their sound. Now, as I've gotten older, I've tried to reopen that investigation, kind of like they did with Carol Baskin's second husband. I'm reopening the investigation into the Beach Boys and going to give them another chance. And I have, and I've softened my stance on them over time. But historically, I always thought they were wildly overrated. I may be wrong on it.
Don't they capture that part of Americana, though, from the 60s and the beach scene?
Yes, and it was one part of Americana that I didn't want captured in their way.
And because they did, I think they got played so much that that just beat you down.
Another one I always thought was overrated, but I didn't want to say it too loudly. What's the deal with Buddy Holly? I mean, I'm just saying.
You're going to get Texas Tech fans getting their guns up over that one.
I know. He's a Texas guy, and he was very instrumental and influential in music. But I just hear some things, and I go, okay, I'm... Hold on, we're getting a whispered bit of insight from Giorgio.
You just can't say it in this state.
You may have a little something, is what I heard.
For the time, though, those tunes were very catchy.
Yeah.
And
so far, all I hear is you trampling on the dead and people in wheelchairs.
Right.
Okay.
That's the negative.
Get prepared, because there's more trampling on the dead to come here. I love this guy, and I even love the period of time in his career that everyone makes fun of. But in a lot of ways, I believe we overrate Elvis Presley.
Okay.
I never thought I'd hear you say this.
I know it, because I love Elvis. He's a Mississippi guy, like I am. And he obviously, culturally, he was everything. I mean, he did move culture to a tremendous degree.
Yeah.
Musically, I felt like he had a great voice, but that he didn't always use it the best he could, and he was very undisciplined with it, and sometimes he over-warbled, in my opinion, and he put out lazy recordings. He did not write his own music. I know I shouldn't hold that against him, but somehow I do. I just think that maybe we overrate Elvis a little bit.
Finally, you've come around. We used to fight over this.
I know it.
When I said America needs to get over Elvis,
I still will fight you over that. I don't know about getting over him, because that means I think you want him to disappear.
No, I don't. Not totally disappear, but he's not with us anymore.
I'm aware of that.
Been gone for 50 years now.
So
now you have given three answers to most overrated.
I know it's not my final answer.
It's not?
No.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
My final answer, and this is without a doubt the most overrated artist of all time.
Your word is mine. Boy. You're going to get so much hate mail.
Wow. Man, you're bringing it.
I'm bringing the heat today.
You are.
Because in the most overrated category, you will notice that I named the king of rock and roll and the king of pop. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is very controversial. But Michael Jackson, and my generation was the one that was supposed to love him and think that he was everything. And believe me, I had people around me that were obsessed with Michael Jackson. My little sister was so obsessed with Michael Jackson, it's all I ever heard of. And she would kiss his poster every night. It was just creepy. It was so wrong. But I remember listening to his music going, I don't quite get what's so great about this. Like, there are some that have great elements to the music, but his voice to me was never the greatest part of the song. Sometimes he would have an excellent groove or bass line, such as Billie Jean.
Yep.
But his voice to me detracted from the song. Because I couldn't stand all the, you know, I'm like, can't the engineer clean up the hiccups? I mean, clearly he's having some sort of fit or problem while recording. Let's go ahead and edit those out.
See, I've always thought Off the Wall was better than Thriller. I'm with you.
Off the Wall was better than Thriller.
Yes.
I
didn't understand why Thriller just changed everything.
I don't either.
MTV. I mean, it was the video.
Yeah, the video, I guess.
I'll give him credit for videos being huge, but as far as musically, Michael Jackson was overrated. His voice was not that great, in my opinion.
Yeah.
As far as listening to it. Because I couldn't stand the hiccups. I couldn't stand mid-song, all of a sudden, someone stomps on his toe, and he goes,
Boy, Weird Al nailed that.
Yeah, Weird Al was right to point that out.
Get his hand caught in a mouse trap.
Okay, you give Weird Al credit for that, don't you, Junior? when he did I'm Fat parodying I'm Bad, and right before the scream and the song, Weird Al sticks his hand up and a mouse trap, he gets it caught in a mouse trap, and that's why he screams.
That's funny.
That is funny. Band, I think, is underappreciated. Okay, I have a semifinalist here, and it's, I think the Eagles are underappreciated. And even by like friends of mine who they fell into the shtick of, man, I hate the Eagles. The Eagles suck. Yeah, the Eagles are the worst thing ever. Never understood that. Like, I get not liking a band, but I don't understand saying, you know, okay, these songs are worth nothing.
It's peer pressure.
It became something you said in order to be cool,
yep,
to say that the Eagles just sucked. And I know it's weird saying a band is underappreciated when they have the greatest selling album of all time.
Right.
Or one of them. I can't remember if it's still number one, but the Eagles were my semifinalist. But the number one most underappreciated act to me is Chuck Berry. I think Chuck Berry did more to define rock and roll than maybe anyone. In the hits he wrote and the way that he shaped up the modern rock song.
It's a good one.
And he does not seem to get the credit he deserves. It's like a lot of the credit, I think, that goes to someone like Elvis. Chuck Berry should be in there.
Mm-hmm.
So he's my most underrated.
Didn't he have Wild Escapades, too?
Yeah, he had...
Is he the coffee table guy?
That's what we hear. Well, him and Danny Thomas.
Danny Thomas was in the...
Those were the...
Glass coffee table thing?
Yeah, the rumor was is that I've heard it about Danny Thomas and I've heard about Chuck Berry, that they like to lie up under a glass coffee table and have a girl, naked girl, straddle the coffee table. Hmm. Now, right there,
that's
I'm
messed
still,
up.
And I'm still with him. But it's the next part where he loses me.
Yeah.
And that he wants the girl to then drop the third bomb after Fat Boy and whatever else, little whatever. What were the two bombs' names?
Fat Boy and
Little Slim. I don't know.
What was the other one?
But Batman, yeah, he would like a woman. He would like a woman to drop hell onto the coffee table while he lay up under it.
I'm sorry,
messing with his own
sit
self.
Down that rabbit hole. Sorry.
Why?
But Chuck Berry actually got busted for this in his restaurant. He had a restaurant, I believe, in St. Louis. And
in the restaurant?
Yes. And they found that he had a peephole into the ladies' restroom where he could watch hell.
God, messed up.
But you think he's underrated. And
As a musician.
That is messed up.
Let's not talk about his off-the-field activities. Band I could listen to over and over again. This is really hard for me because music, like scents and smells, are way too evocative. And after some period of time, listening to a song again is too painful for me. It's almost like the post-orgasmic sensitivity when you're just screaming, "Don't touch me." That's the way a song gets to me, to where I just can't listen to it anymore because it reminds me of a time, of a place, of a person, and something that I love. I can't experience it again.
Really?
Am I the only one that's like that?
I've got a couple songs like that.
Almost like feeling the pain, though. Almost like experiencing that.
No, I just can't stand it. So most bands that I love become unlistenable at some point because they're way too emotionally evocative. But I think there's some music that I love and is evocative that I can listen to over and over again. And I had a hard time narrowing down. It's the Sam Cooke, Otis Redding, Jackie Wilson type music.
Uh-huh.
And I guess if I had to pick one of those, I would pick Otis Redding. I can listen to Otis Redding over and over and over again.
Incredible voice.
And I never get tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
Band that made me fall in love with music. This one was not so hard for me. It was the band XTC.
I knew they'd be on your list somewhere.
Jesus, Buddha, and the Wizard of Oz.
this your all-time favorite XTC song?
No, this isn't my all-time favorite. It was impossible for me to even pick a song to play from them because this band is so sonically complex and they will have so many layers in their songs that all work together at once. And they do interesting things with arrangement, the way they'll start with a middle eight or a bridge and then go into a chorus and then do the first verse. They can just do all sorts of interesting things. And they were never a hugely successful band, but musicians loved them. So it was kind of a cult status that you had if you loved XTC. And that appealed to me, of course, when I was young and wanted to be in the cool crowd, liking sure. XTC. But what they gave me musically was appreciating the complexity of music. And so XTC is the band that made me fall in love with music.
It's a good choice. I never knew about them until you introduced me to them, and I think they're incredible.
They're just so incredible, and they went through so many different phases in their sound and the types of music they did. They had songs that were much more acoustic, heavy, and they're just so varied. To me, they were kind of like the modern-day Beatles. The Beatles are so complex, so many different things going on. You can dive into the Beatles anywhere in their career, and you will find something new. That's the way XTC was. Band that changed my life. Another difficult one, because bands have changed my life for different reasons. Jimi Hendrix changed my life because it showed me what electric guitar could do. Jerry Reed changed my life because it was what acoustic guitar could do. And Robert Johnson was another one who, when I got into blues music, there's lots of guys. It could have been Robert Johnson or it could have been many other blues artists from that time that showed me how simple songs can be, which is the other side of the same coin. What XTC showed me, how complex songs can be but still be great. Blues artists can show you how simple a song can be and be great.
Sure.
And that's, you can choose a country artist there too, Giorgio. Because
that's what I was like about John Prine. He's the same way.
I mean, it's three chords and
very
the truth.
Very simple, but it was great. Yeah.
But the band that changed my life the most musically has to be the Beatles. I know that's a boring pick, but that's the pick. Band that surprised me. Well, we may have to divide mine up some into the corner here because I've got a few. All right. Would you rather do that? Yeah, yeah. Because I can move what I had for the corner later. And I still have a couple of songs that I want to play for you guys. So coming up next, I'll tell you the bands that surprised me, the band I love, band I should have seen by now, and a great band to see, and my revealing guilty pleasure next. Boy, and just it's so amazing how the support has just rolled in for me on Twitter. People supporting my pick of XTC as my favorite of all time band. There's lots of people who appreciate the greatness of XTC. So many people coming out in support of me, thanking me for the courage to finally talk about Phil Collins. And I said that weird, but Phil Collins is...
so many people are wrong.
Easy Lover was a great song. P1 Dion pointed out that Easy Lover is a great song, and I'll give him that.
I bet he had a lot to do with
that
song.
But that was a duet, wasn't he? Wasn't it?
But that to me sounded a lot like some of the stuff on Face Value, like Missed Again.
Other people supporting me on Elvis being overrated, Buddy Holly being overrated, and Michael Jackson, who of course was my pick as the most overrated artist of all time. And I've gotten support from some very odd corners, including a corner that is on from 10 to noon on the ticket. I received a text. I won't tell you which host it was.
Okay.
But it was one who can actually use a phone and text.
And yeah, Norm can't text.
That person said I was 100% right about Michael Jackson being overrated. That early on in his career, his voice was fine. Jackson 5 time, you know, he's got a kid, had a high voice. That's okay, fine. Once he became an adult, his voice got way over-stylized and got to where it was distracting to the song. Not the best feature of the song. It was the worst feature of the song. I don't want to hear hiccups and someone having some gastrointestinal issues on my pop music.
People loved all that.
All right.
I think it's a good choice for overrated because, like I said, he was made by MTV. Not that he didn't have any talent or, you know, Jackson 5 head start, but MTV made him into the king of pop.
Sure. And I don't think that if he did not have those videos and his dancing. Now, I do not think his dancing is overrated.
Mm-hmm. Incredible.
His dancing truly was breakthrough, and it popularized. I mean, that. Did you see people dancing like that before Michael Jackson?
No.
I'm not saying he invented it, but he certainly was the guy who popularized that style. When he perfected the moonwalk, he didn't invent that either, but he perfected that, and that was great. If he couldn't dance like that and didn't have those big epic videos, there's no way Thriller's that popular. No way that album's that popular, because based on the music, not that great.
And his dancing, that's what made him a four-star general? Once he could dance like that?
I'm not sure why.
That's why he was decorated as such?
I think he was an admiral, wasn't he? Were those, what are they called? Epithets? No. Epitaphs? He wore those epitaphs on his shoulders. Okay. Band that changed my life. I told you it was the Beatles after much deliberation. Band that surprised me. Giorgio, one of your bands makes the list here. It's a band that you kind of introduced me to, and it's the Killers.
Huh. Yeah, I remember the day on the show when I played them.
You played them, and I remember hearing that for the first time on this show. You played All the Things, All Those Things. Mm-hmm. What's the name of the song, official
All
name
These
of the song?
Things I've Done?
All These Things, right? Yeah. You played that, and I was like, man, this is really amazing. And the more I heard from the Killers, the more I loved them. And that's a really deep band. They have as far as cuts.
Yeah.
They have many great songs.
And apparently he's a songwriting machine. Apparently he just writes and writes and writes. And that's why he's done a lot of solo stuff, just because he wants to put it out there and he writes so much.
Another band that really surprised me. What's that? No, I've never seen
Oh, my God. Their shows are incredible.
Yeah.
I've seen them four times.
Highly recommend that show.
So
maybe
good.
They should have made the list on the bands I should have seen by now.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't. The Killers is one of the bands that surprised me. Gorillaz, when I was first recommended, hey, you need to watch this cartoon band, listen to some of their music. You ever listen to the Gorillaz?
I know Feel Good and a few others. Feel Good's, I think, to this day, one of the best songs of the last 30 years.
Oh, man, there's so many great songs. I mean, I didn't pull up Feel Good.
Or is it Feels Good or Feel Good?
With De La Soul is featured in it, I think.
Feel Good Inc.
Yeah.
Okay.
They, the Gorillaz, which is this, do you know about them, Junior? They're a cartoon band. They've
never heard of them.
I mean, it's been decades now that this has gone on, this project, and it's this fake cartoon band that has lore and legend behind it. There's a whole backstory, but it's this one particular musician who does this project. He brings in a lot of other people and does this music, and it's really, really good. And I went and saw the Gorillaz movie when it came to town last year, I think it was. Here's some of it. You'll know this song. Do you remember this at all? You recognize
this? Not really. I don't think I've ever heard this.
No. It's called the Gorillaz, and that band really surprised me when I started listening to them. What about 19-2000? You remember that, Giorgio?
Hit me with it if you got it.
Okay, hold on just a second. I got to wait for the stupid ad.
Yeah,
to
I think so.
Okay, here's 19-2000.
Yeah. You've heard this, haven't you, Jim?
Yeah, I've heard this. We used to use this as return music, I think.
Yeah. I think Feel Good was also on there too for a while. Issues to keep myself tethered
to the days I tried to lose. Yeah, this
anyway,
is cool.
Yeah, really great stuff, the Gorillaz. But my official answer to this band that surprised me, Duran Duran. This is going way back. This was another one of the bands that my sister was way into, and I dismissed because they were a, bunch of pretty boys. And
running their mouth.
But even today, and as a matter of fact, more recently, in the past couple of years, after I got that John Taylor bass and went back and revisited some of their bass lines, and he's my favorite bassist of all time. He turns out when I started listening to what was actually coming out of my sister's speakers in her stereo system, and I kind of got past the stupid lines like "Her name is Rio" and
"Hungry
like the wolf." I didn't quite bond with those lyrics, But when I started breaking apart the music lines, still to this day, I don't know of many bands that put together such different lines for each instrument in a way that becomes this five-piece package that work together in concert like that.
Yeah. And it's your all-time favorite bass player too, right?
All-time favorite bass player. And the keyboards, it's strange the way the keyboards and the guitar and the bass and the drums all work together in that band, playing very, very different things. It's another band that, I always had the ideas, oh, the keyboard player, he'll just kind of mimic the guitar line, but play it with a different sounding patch. He'll play it with a string patch or something like that. And then that's good enough for a keyboard line. No, they would do something entirely different sonically with the keyboard than they would do with the guitar. And it was the first time that I really analyzed how a bass guitar should work with a kick drum.
Yeah.
I had been in bands for years before I listened to Duran Duran enough to realize, oh, here's the trick. You need to change the bass note when that kick drum hits. Or you need to syncopate with the bass drum in order to make the bass line funky.
That's your percussion section right there,
right?
The bass and the drum.
I didn't understand that. Yeah. Another thing I learned from John Taylor as a bassist was the fact that I would always go in when I was trying to buy a new bass or try to get the sound that I wanted out of a bass and trying an instrument. I would always try it in a store. Man, this bass just sounds awesome. This is the bass I'm going to get. And then if I took that bass and played it with a band, it was so muddy and sounded like crap. And I didn't understand that. Well, I saw an interview with John Taylor, and he was talking about why he used some particular bass. And he goes, I find that it sits perfectly in the mix to where it doesn't claim any of the sonic space of the guitar or the keyboards or the drums. You have to be very particular, he said, about which frequencies you claim for your instrument that it doesn't step on the other instruments.
And there started the particular sensitive ear of Gordo.
Right. And he was exactly right. And that's why that Aria Pro bass that he used early in his career was like the ultimate bass to me. Because it was so, if you listen to it alone, it is so nasally. And the sound of it right up here in this area.
Rick Kirkham-ish.
It's nasally. Yeah, it's the Rick Kirkham bass. It's nasally and honky when you hear it by itself.
Yeah.
But in a band, it completely stands out and it sounds crisp and it sounds complementary to the other frequencies.
I like Duran Duran, and part of it was their sound. It was,
yeah,
the same and yet different. There was a lot of stuff out like that at the time, but they were unique.
I'd love for you to go back and listen to some. I'll make you a playlist.
All right,
and you go back, and I want you to analyze each part of those songs as you're listening to them. Listen to what they're doing, and I think you will find it's a world of surprises for you.
Yeah,
because and there are times when I listen to an old Duran Duran song. And I realized, you know what? I've never really concentrated on what Andy Taylor's doing on guitar. Let me just listen to the song this time, listening to only the guitar part, and I'll hear guitar parts I've never heard before. Okay, so that's my band that really surprised me, Duran Duran. Band I should have seen by now. I think this one lends itself to being weighted towards an older artist that you're worried is about to die. And that's where my list led me, to Kris Kristofferson.
Is he still playing?
I think he is not still playing, but he just announced one or two shows that he's going to do
future. We just had him on Big Show a couple of weeks ago, right before the pandemic, because he was performing at the ballpark in that big concert, right?
Oh, he was with Chris Stapleton and all that?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. I know Willie was.
But maybe it was Willie, but we had Kris Kristofferson on the Big Show very recently.
Yeah, I remember that. I've got to see this guy because he's got to be in his 80s now.
Yeah.
And speaking of great songwriters, he had a period of time there where he wrote some of the greatest songs in the American songbook.
He's 83.
83. Wow. Some people may not even know that he wrote Me and Bobby McGee. Yep. When you listen to Janis Joplin belt out that classic song, that's written by Kris Kristofferson.
Great section on him in that country music documentary. Ken Burns.
Man, I've got to watch that. Maybe that's nothing what I'll else. Do during
just
pandemic.
Watch that section. You'll love that.
He would have been on this week, perhaps Big Show. He was scheduled to play this weekend at the Windstar.
Oh, okay. Mm,
there you go. All right, band that I love. Who do you think I'm going to choose? You guys know me, right?
Band that you love. You've already mentioned a lot.
See,
of your go-tos.
I might have thought XTC here.
Yeah.
Yes.
ABBA is always a possibility.
Yeah.
Murray Head.
What? Bangkok, Oriental City. Okay. That's a genius mix up by Jerry there. Play the ABBA piano
the combo
drill there. Down and then play Murray Head. Bangkok, Oriental City. No, when it comes to band that I love, maybe if I think about it, it's probably my favorite band of all time, which is such a hard thing to choose. But I loved this band for so long and maybe been my first obsession with a band.
Oh yeah.
Join me.
Should have gotten this.
Well, they had some great songs.
Spectacular voice.
Great. This is still my favorite voice of any
incredible
rock singer.
It's great.
I love Steve Perry's voice. And it's a shame that his voice ragged it out so much touring nonstop.
Yeah.
That this was kind of the end of his voice got too raspy after this. After the Frontiers album, it was really the Escape tour with Open Arms and Don't Stop Believing, that album. They toured for 2 years after that album. And that voice really kind of destroyed Steve Perry's voice, or started him on the trail of destruction of his voice. Because in the Frontiers album, which is the last really classic Journey album, his voice was raspy. And this was from the Frontiers section. He started having a lot more air in his voice, and it wasn't as pure. And then after the Frontiers album, they did the one more Raised on Radio thing, and that's when Steve Perry had completely taken over the band and
kind of ruined it,
in my opinion. But this song is a great song. It wasn't on any album. It was on a soundtrack to a John Travolta movie.
Really?
Yeah. But it should have been on the Frontiers album. It was a great album. Journey, my favorite band of all time. It's the band that I love. Great band to see. Hold on, let me turn off that music. Great band to see. Great band I should have seen by now. Kris Kristofferson is who I put on that list. Great band to see. Monty Montgomery is a local guitarist that you go and you watch a show of him by himself. It's weird to say band because I'm recommending him in his solo fashion, although
that's okay.
He sometimes does a three-piece band and he's great there. But Monty Montgomery is an interesting artist because he's a guitar wizard. I mean, wizard.
Yeah, he's crazy good.
He plays an acoustic guitar, an old Alvarez that he bought in the early 80s, and he's beat this thing to high holy. I mean, it looks like Stevie Ray Vaughan's electric guitar. Yeah. It is so beat up. But what he can do with an acoustic guitar will absolutely amaze you. You will be mesmerized and hypnotized if you go see a show of Monty Montgomery's, of him just by himself. Now, in addition to him being a guitar wizard, he has a great soulful voice. And he's written some fantastic songs.
That's a rare combo.
Yes. And that's the thing, is he has this great voice, this great guitar, and he can write really well. And I don't know that I marvel at him when I go see him half the time for his stage presence. He can communicate with an audience, and he is so freaking funny sometimes. Like, I can't get over how well he can improv in front of a crowd. He'll work the crowd. He'll start talking to somebody. He'll do callback jokes to somebody who said something earlier in it. Like, I study his homiletics and his preaching, although he doesn't preach, or his stand-up ability as much as I study his guitar playing.
We need to get him up in studio when this is all over again. We had him on a long time ago, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We had him. I remember he played Wishing Well when that song came out. But Monty Montgomery, a great band to see. And he's from Texas, lives in Texas, and he comes through town pretty frequently. So you need to go see Monty Montgomery. I added one category here, band I'd really like to get into more.
Mm-hmm.
Stevie Wonder.
Okay.
Everything I've heard of Stevie Wonder, I love, but I've never deep divined into Stevie Wonder, and I would love to get more into Stevie Wonder.
You know, Donovan swears he can see.
Yeah, Donovan's a cider. What would you call him on Stevie Wonder?
Cider.
Yeah. Guilty pleasure. One of my guilty pleasures is The Doors. I think they get a bad rap a lot of times. People hate The Doors. People either hate The Doors too much or they overpraise The Doors too much.
Mm-hmm.
But they're one of my guilty pleasures, but they are not my most guilty pleasure. My most guilty pleasure, and it's really almost without guilt now because it brings such pleasure. What do you think I'm going to say?
ABBA, Dancing Queen.
No, and not Murray Head either.
I don't know.
One of the greatest pop songs of all time.
Incredible song.
And it contains some of the greatest lyrics. Me, who's so particular about language and everything, there is one part of this that I think is so brilliant that most people would think is not great and don't even know why it's so good or may not think it's good at all, but I think it's brilliant. It's none of these lyrics, by the way. Okay, is everyone who's listening to this bobbing their head right now in their car? Yes.
Sure. My daughter's favorite song.
See? She knows what's up.
Yep.
So, now, George, do you dolphin your hand?
Oh, yeah. I'm a big air dolphin on this one.
And do you like the synth strings there doing the little stabs?
Great.
And that guitar? My favorite lines. It's a good example of what repetition means to a line. And I don't know that anybody agrees with that or thinks that, but I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
Before you came into my life, I missed you so bad. I missed you so bad. I missed you so, so bad. Love that line.
Yeah.
And then, and you should know that. There's something in that too. And you should know that. Before we die, you should know that. Anyway. That's my guilty pleasure. Call Me Maybe by Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yay.
Yay.
All right, that's the list.
Best biggest show.
See, I told you guys when we started this, it's impossible to do that quickly. And haven't you found that?
Oh,
we've all three
yes.
done our list now, and it's just so hard. Now, I didn't think it would take Gordo 50 minutes.
He did it.
But it was interesting.